Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Social media is saying, forget being a homeowner. Go out there and just rent.
When the loudest thing I'm hearing is don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, my thought is, I should probably look at it and do it if everybody else isn't.
90% of the wealthiest Americans gets their wealth from real estate.
Builders, developers. Yeah. I'm seeing multi-million dollar homes with nicer LVP.
Luxury?
Vinyl plank.
This concept of luxury is kind of subjective, right? We think about luxury. Ooh. If I'm looking at the difference between a Honda and a Benz, one of the main differences when I close my door?
These are the kind of conversations we got to have to help homeowners really invest. And I wish I would have had this when I bought my first one. That's why these are on the network. What's going on, fam? It's your boy, Anthony O'Neill. Welcome back to the table. Y'all, listen, today's a day you're going to want to go ahead and get your pen, get your paper out, because we're going to give you some practical things on what you need to do with your house this summer that's going to help you raise the value of your home, the appeal of your home. I'm even talk about some of the things that you just don't even need to invest into, right? Because I don't know about y'all, I've owned several homes now and I've made some mistakes. And I've been seeing some things going around on social media talking like, do this and don't do this, or don't be a homeowner. I got some things I want to say. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But today we're going to give you some practical things you should be doing with your home that is worth the money. Some things that you should not be doing that's not going to help you sell the money. And that actually, in the long run, may cost you some money. I got my brothers back at the table from the Coalition Group, Keith and Harris, who will also be joining Neatness Network. So y'all be seeing some things coming out from them here real soon. I'm really excited about that. So just keep a lot. We'll bring some more information out here real soon. But we are going to be updating you all at least once a month on real estate, right? And so on my show, and then y'all can go check out their show every single week. They're going to be updating you all some things around real estate and some other dope stuff that they're going to be talking about on their show. But brothers, let's get to it. My people know you. They love you. They're rocking with you. But I want to talk about this real quick before we get into some practical things. And I know we can't spend too much time on this, but maybe I can come on your show. We can have a whole hour-long conversation about it. But there's this whole social media saying, forget being a homeowner. Go out there and just rent. And I think that is one of the dumbest things you can tell people of color to do. When it is proving that when you become a homeowner, have some level of real estate, it is helping you build wealth.
Period.
And then social media is saying, forget ownership, rent. What's y'all's thoughts on this as far as in being one of the leading real estate groups in not just DMV area, but in the United States of America? What's y'all thoughts on that?
Well, there's been a lot of very loud, very passionate social media posting and conversation kind of trashing home ownership. And I think the main points they lead with are fear, hidden costs, this predatory nature of a lot of people in the real estate industry. And look, let me be very clear. Real estate ownership is not right for everybody all the time.
Fact.
Real estate ownership is not right for everybody all the time.
Right.
But for most people, the net worth opportunity alone, just the net worth opportunity to own something, live in it, let equity and appreciation do its thing, is why people should still consider it. Because if you're not doing other things or doing all the things that you tell folks to do,
right.
and they're not actually having their money work to build more money,
right.
the house is the most tangible asset and that you can get for pennies on the dollar that can do that. So like all the narrative that I'm hearing out there really is short-sighted in my opinion, and it's reflective of a higher cost of capital, inflation, and things being more expensive today than they were 2 or 3 years ago. But in the long view, which is how everything with money should be thought, in the long view, ownership is still the vehicle, specifically people of color, that's going to open up doors of net worth, wealth building, and just growth opportunities.
Yes. Yeah. And let's just look at this stat alone. 90% of the wealthiest Americans gets their wealth from real estate.
Right.
Like, that's data driven. 90%, right?
Right.
So it's interesting that we're seeing all this, like, right now, all this. Like, I've seen it more than ever. I've seen the fear, this type of don't become a homeowner, now more so than any other time that I've been in real estate, quite frankly. And it's funny to me, and it's interesting that the algorithm is doing that right now.
Right.
Because first it was interest rate. Oh, don't buy because of interest rates. Interest rates are too high. Do not buy until the interest rates come down. Well, we know a lot of the people that make the most money in the marketplace, in real estate, make it in a market that's driven by higher interest rates. Because guess what? It's installing fear into people, and not a lot of competition is on the market. Mm-hmm. So you're buying in on the front end of that deal and getting more money. So when you go to sell it, you're making more money, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting at a cheaper cost.
Yeah.
Now, interest rates didn't scare us, but now they want the cost of home ownership to scare us.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. It's interesting right now. Like, interest rates didn't scare us. We continued to buy.
Right.
Now the fear of becoming a homeowner should scare us into buying real estate.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the wealthiest Americans get their wealth from real estate.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't we do that?
Facts.
Why shouldn't we invest in real estate?
Facts.
Why shouldn't we be the consumers of tangible assets that we can leverage for our families for generations to come?
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem for me.
No,
and I take that very serious when I'm educating my people.
I've never seen someone become wealth by being a consumer. I don't know anyone in my atmosphere who has built wealth and a legacy from consuming. They've built some level of wealth from owning.
Exactly.
And so right now, I mean, you were talking about this earlier, Harris, was it's like, for me, when I hear this rhetoric, I'm like, cool, great. I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
Because somebody will need to rent it from somebody.
Yeah.
And for me, I do not get into real estate solely for the monthly income because it's not a lot of money.
Right.
I get into it for the compound of growth over a long period of time.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'll put you in that. You pay off the mortgage.
Yeah.
I now have ownership, but I gained money that you helped me pay it off, the renter. So I'm like, wait a minute. That's fine. Y'all can listen to that foolishness, but I'm going to go buy it and you're going to rent from me.
Somebody gonna own it.
There's this book called The Compound Effect.
And yes, sir.
I recommend everybody go check out this book called The Compound Effect, because it talks about what you just said. You know, you buy now and you reap the benefits later. Mm-hmm. So we've been in this, like, we've known to be in this, like, right now. How can we take this tangible asset and what can it do for me right now? Well, the mindset should be, what can it do for us 5 years from now, 10 years from now, right?
Yes, sir.
And get that long-term wealth plan. Because if we have our money just sitting in our pockets, and it's a proven fact, sitting in the bank account, your money is actually losing money.
Yes.
Quite frankly.
Inflation. Yes, sir.
Inflation, yes, sir. Right? And inflation is what? Probably around 5-6% right now.
It is.
And the government likes to have it around 2%.
Yep.
So think about that.
And look, man, it's a long game, right? Like, and by no means are we going to say that home ownership now is easier.
Correct.
As compared to when our parents did, or even when we got in the game like a decade ago. But those who take action when it is more challenging, and when the loudest thing I'm hearing is don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, my thought is, well, I should probably look at it and do it if everybody else isn't.
Facts.
But do it thoughtfully and do it with the right plan and preparation like we're going to talk about today. You know, protect yourself and leverage the tools that are out here to make sure you're not going to be stuck carrying a crazy cost that's going to hit you over the head out of nowhere, right? There's always going to be risks. There's always going to be costs that come up, but the right team around you can protect and insulate you from it.
Yeah. We don't want to be the realtors that, of course, they're realtors. They're going to tell us we should be buying real estate. No, that's not the case. Prior preparation prevents poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make sure you're prepared to go out and make a great decision on buying your most appreciating asset that you could possibly buy.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, man. So I've bought some real estate, buying more real estate with you all. I mean, you all have way more real estate than me. One of the things that I have been seeing with homeowners is that we tend to put our money in the wrong places mm-hmm. when we get a home. You know, we'll go do this, we'll go do that. And then, well, wait, we will tend to get upset when we go to sell the home mm-hmm. because, wait, I'll put this into the house. I got that. I got this. And it's like, yeah, but that didn't really help the value right. of your home.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us who are watching this show and a lot of us who have homes, we want to know what is the best things that we can do that doesn't cost us a lot of money. But one, either helps us out with our equity or it helps us just even have the house stand out. May not help us out with the equity, but it will help us with selling or with even renting. So like with me, I'm never selling any of my houses again. Mm-hmm. I'll always rent them.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing things around my house, I'm like, okay, cool. What will make this thing more attractive to pay a little bit more rent, but get it rented quicker,
yeah.
right? And so I really want to walk through some actionable things that we can do. And y'all, we are going to, one, put this list out there, and then two, we're going to give you the links where you can get some of this stuff, because a lot of stuff I have done, some stuff I will be doing, right? But what do you think is the very first thing off the top of your head? I'm going to go start off with you, Harris. What do you think is the very first thing in your shoes that when you are going to sell a house mm-hmm. or when you walk into a home mm-hmm. representing your client mm-hmm. and say, like, okay, wait, this house has this. What are some key things we should be starting off with?
Easiest is first impression stuff, right?
Okay.
I'm telling clients when we're preparing a home to rent or for sale, what is a possible objection that mm-hmm. somebody's going to have within their first couple seconds of seeing it from the street, stepping in the front door? So if we're looking at the exterior things to address first,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the curb appeal items that can help me get some bang for the buck?
Facts.
Very simple one, exterior lighting.
Oh, yes.
Exterior lighting.
Yes.
We can go simple and we can go middle and we can go a little bit higher. Simply, what type of bulbs do you have in your exterior light?
Ooh.
Is it 100 watt or higher? Is it a warm or cool bulb?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it LED?
Yeah.
Is it the little thing that flickers and shows the fire? That's a little creepy to me. I don't know if I like those. But like my exterior lighting, especially if somebody's seeing it dusk, that, you know, maybe not in the middle of the day, that makes a big difference.
Yes.
Right now, because LED power and battery powered lights are very prevalent and cheap,
yep.
you got lots of options that can put, I'm talking about some little puck lights up my walkway. How fancy do you feel walking up to somebody's house and they got those little lights there? $50, maybe nice. $50 on that to consider exterior lighting one.
Yeah.
Number two is looking at your siding, your exterior of your home. Has it been actually power washed, cleaned, and sealed so that when people see it, they're not seeing something crumble, they're not seeing discoloration? That's a very simple and easy thing you can do either with your own sweat or you can hire somebody to do pretty reasonably.
Yes, sir.
And then the third one, as I'm looking at the outside, is if I have a driveway or if I have concrete steps or stairway coming up, are those sealed and clean? What's the first thing you think? If I'm walking up to a house and I see a big crack across the middle of your driveway, or I see something in those concrete steps or the steps coming up, even the wooden steps coming up, have you addressed and done something to make sure those first things people interact with look better?
Yeah.
Quite often when those are addressed, they're already coming into the house like, they thought about this. They got it ready for me, you know?
Right.
But those are also things that every day you are going to walk past and think about in your home, give you a little bit more pride and a pretty cost effective.
Yeah. Listen here, Harris, let me tell you something. When I pull into my neighborhood, I intentionally look at all the houses in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
All the grass is brown. You know what I'm saying? They burnt. They don't care about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh. They got weeds in their grass. I ain't got no lights at nighttime. What in the world? Then when I pull up to mine, that grass green and thick.
Crispy.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
What? I saw a brown spot in the middle of my grass just the other week. I was backing up. I saw it. Man, I put that thing in park. I walked in the middle of my grass. I said, the devil is alive. Hold up. Wait a minute. Like, I take pride in that curb appeal, because when you pull into your home and you got, you know, the lights on, the grass is cut, you know, you don't see the cracks in the siding. And that is something I'm doing this summer is while I'm going on my vacation, my my contractor, he is actually going in and fixing my siding.
Yeah.
Because it's the original siding for the first home.
Yeah.
So he's going to fix it and paint it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave me the quote to paint it, I was actually impressed. It wasn't that much at all. It's just time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to pressure wash it. seal it, mm-hmm. paint over it the same color.
There you go.
Because one thing I do want to suggest to you, if you're living in an HOA home development, if you change the color, you have to get it approved.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I went to paint the house black. And he was like, well, you got to get that approved. I said, well, they ain't going to approve that.
Yeah.
And so I said, all right, let me do that. But you're so right. I mean, there are so many different ways you can go with the lighting. You can go to solar array that you can just buy. But if you do the
spikes,
on the spikes, those are cool. They just don't last that long.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're looking to make some investments, I think it's on a low cost end. It didn't cost me nothing but $1,200 to get my exterior lights plugged in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they work. And then I even went a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did lighting in the backyard.
Yeah.
The trees in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just looked so beautiful.
Yeah.
What would you say, bro? What you say, number two?
Since Harrison talked about the exterior, and psychologically, when you walk into a house, you want it to be as much lighting as possible. Mm-hmm. So right now, what's in is the white light bulbs.
The white light bulbs
bouncing off the LPV floor.
Wow.
And for my clients that are walking in those houses, what they're saying is, wow, I see this open floor plan. I see the white lights. Keith, there's a lot of lighting in here, so I feel better in this home, and it's more warm and fuzzy to them from a psychological standpoint.
So you got the yellow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Say warm white. Versus cool.
Yep.
Warm versus cool.
Different, yep.
Different so yellow brings like a warm feeling.
Correct.
And the white brings a cool feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have all yellow in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that you suggested we change those to white?
At the time of sale. Because it shows, and I'll explain what he was saying there a little bit. There's something about, even when we're on your show right now, the majority of the light when you are presenting something is a cooler or bluer tone.
Yeah.
If I'm relaxing, hanging out in the house, it's a warmer tone. But guess what? With LED lights right now, I got the option with the same bulb, with the same embedded fixture, to change that from warm to cool on my own. So if you do upgrading, that's the power behind LED lighting, is I got the option to pick my temperature and my brightness based on my use. If I'm hanging out, chilling, lower, warmer. If I'm selling, showing, documenting, photographing, brighter, cool.
I've never heard of that, but my lighting guy, and it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking, that I was like, man, I don't know if I want to walk around a house every single day with bright lights.
Correct.
You know, I like my yellow. It's just, I feel relaxed.
Yep.
But it makes sense, though, if I'm showing it off, I want it to feel grand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can tell a difference when you walk into a house that's not like that. And this is for the time of sale and renting, as Harrison said. When you walk into a house at the time of sale, that lighting stands out.
Mm.
I said, oh, they prepped this for me. Because that's what buyers are talking about. They took care of their home so much so that when I walked in, I felt like I was at home. And that's what the important part, that's the important piece of the property.
You know what's so funny is, though? My lighting guy put the white lights outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because outside. It goes back to what you're saying. You're always presenting at mm-hmm. that time.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody ride by your house, they're going to look at your house, and it's going to, here I am. This is my house. It presents way, way better.
Wow. That got me thinking.
Yeah.
And temperature, they know I'm a bit neurotic about a lot of this stuff when we're prepping.
Yeah.
Another important thing, if you're showing your home, is consistency of temperature on the same level and floor. So if I walk in your house and we got recessed lights or I got other ones and I see half cool, half warm.
Gotta have the same lights throughout the whole house.
So I keep, like, in the back of my car right now, like if we got a listing appointment, we're walking through, I've got the bulbs to swap out. I got warm and cool to make sure we are consistent in that space and in that room. Because if it's mismatched, like, people want to know, like, what's, something's weird about this. Why is this?
And that's all here.
Lighting.
Yeah.
It's the lighting. Yep.
Do y'all recommend this stuff, too, as we're going through this list, for even if you're showing it to rent it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want the highest number possible, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because the market says, like, if the market, let's say you're renting your house for $3,500, and you say the next person down the road is renting for $4,000, right? But their lighting is on point. Right, they got LPV throughout the house. The temperature is just right when they walk in there.
LPV, what is that?
LVP.
LVP.
Is LVP?
Luxury
vinyl plank.
Flooring?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So not wood flooring?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Hold the heck!
Hey.
Hold up, brother. Hold up. Talk to me now. That's gonna be expensive. If y'all talking about changing wood out to LVP,
It depends, Keith. We look at this in two different hats.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting home ready for sale.
Okay.
And I got the kids and had dogs and stuff. Yeah, I'm looking at everyday maintenance and not having to worry about it.
Yeah.
LVP. And look, I was
writing that down.
Yeah.
Luxury vinyl plank.
Because y'all been to the house. Y'all see all them scratches on my floor from Raven?
Keep getting there.
Exactly. It's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening.
I was one for a long time, like, no, hardwood only. Yeah. I ain't going for this cheap. But guess what we started seeing? Luxury new construction homes, builders, developers. Yeah. I'm seeing multi-million dollar homes with nicer LVP. Nicer
what is LVP. Luxury?
Vinyl plank. It's a category of flooring that's been taken over for a couple different reasons. Temperature-wise, if there's temperature variance, doesn't buckle, doesn't do as much. Waterproof. Scratch-proof. It's got a lot more resilience because it is a manufactured product instead of a natural product. Now, don't get me wrong. If people love the feel of the hardwood floor, love the sound of the hardwood floor.
And the character, too.
And character. Go for it. And if you got an older home, you're going more restoration and renovation, hardwood all day.
Yep.
But if you're looking for cost-effective, durable, like life-proof in many ways, LVP is the way to go. I have it in the home I live in now. In my rental properties, it's the move.
Yeah.
It's the wave.
It's cheap. It's $1.64 per square foot.
Yep.
Correct. And you got different grades. You can
go up. $1.44. I see $219, $259.
I actually started looking at that after COVID when the price of materials started to go up.
And wood went crazy.
Wood went crazy post-COVID. And so I was like, wait, this actually lasts longer. My tenants can beat it up all they want to, and it's not going to, I'm not going to have to change it out. And it just made sense from an economical standpoint to be able to put that in. Now, some places in D.C., they might walk in. I still would put LVP in D.C., but some people like the character of hardwood. But
the wood that was there.
The wood that was there, the original wood. But I like that LVP because of the price. When you're about to sell, you're about to rent, because I want the highest number possible.
But you know what? This makes sense, though. It makes sense. I'm changing the LVP. I'm trying to find me. Y'all know a person?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, just send me that person's name today. He can do it while he or she can do it while I'm on vacation. Because my biggest thing, when I'm looking at family, so I have family homes.
Yep.
All of them have, the majority of them have dogs or cats or some level of animal. Mm-hmm. And they have kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's like, for me, it's like, dang, with just a dog, I'm tired of seeing her. She mess up the floor.
Especially if you got a dark stain. If you got a dark stain on the floor.
All day long.
Time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what? I just paid all this money. You can't handle this. But I do remember the home that I bought before my next door neighbor. They said they put in something to where you don't see any dog scratches. Mm-hmm. In LVP, you won't see any dog scratches.
There are grades of it. Yeah. The middle to higher grade has it, but it is still less scratch potential on LVP than a hardwood.
Yeah, and buckling from water, too.
And buckling from water.
Yeah, and buckling from water.
See, that's raving, because she'd be dripping her water, sucking her water.
You got water everywhere.
All over the floor, and it's just buckling.
And you know what the cool thing about this stuff is? And I tell people this, is when I put LVP in my basement, right? Mm-hmm. And what I did, I didn't pay for it all at one time. I went and got a 12-month interest-free credit card, right? And used that. And they came in and installed it, put it in. And all I had to do was pay on that card over 12 months. They even got 24 months now.
And why LVP in basements? Why that instead of carpet or something else?
I think I just, did I do that in my basement? I don't have hardwood floor. I have something.
I think you got a ceramic tile down there, maybe.
I can't remember.
I think in the front part, you got LVP, though.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Yeah, I think you put luxury
tile. I think so. Yeah, I think so. When I think about that now, because I see no scratches and it doesn't buckle at all.
Yeah.
Zero.
I think you got LVP in there.
And y'all are right. It doesn't have the look and texture as the wood, but it doesn't look bad either.
Yeah, right. Why do you think in my basement I put? Why do you think?
Well, so especially in an area like the DC area where we have basements,
yeah.
You're always going to have more moisture in the environment when something is below grade.
Yep.
A lot of old homes had carpets. What does every carpet have underneath it? A pad or foam? What is foam? It's a freaking
Yeah.
It is a surface that moisture can be held and create that kind of damp and dank smell.
Yeah.
So in every lower level, I'm saying you got two options, either ceramic tile that's right to the floor or an LVP for a more cost-effective option because of that resistance to holding in moisture.
And you know what? You know, not to get too nerdy about flooring, but the subfloor under the floor is important too, because another reason why I did that, because I have a lot of foot traffic in my basement because I like to host,
right?
But the flooring, people can walk with their shoes off in the basement and it's padded under the floor.
Comfortable to stand on,
exactly.
Are you tired of feeling stuck in a job that no longer excites you? Dreaming of a career that not only challenges you, but always rewards you handsomely? Let's turn that dream into reality with Yellowtail Tech. Even if the tech world seems out of reach due to a lack of background or degree, we've got you covered. In just 6 months, Yellowtail Tech can transform you from zero to tech hero. That's right, ensuring you're not just job ready, but in demand. What's our secret? A world-class education delivered by industry-certified professionals who are not just
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to avoid common pitfalls and get straight to the insights that drive success? Join me and recognize names like John Mackey of Whole Foods and Joe DeSena of Spartan, as we unpack the hard-earned lessons from their journeys. Ready to streamline your path to success? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Teachers, but leaders in their field. They bring real-world experience into the classroom, ensuring you learn not just the theory, but how it's applied in the tech world today. But we don't stop just there. With Yellowtail Tech, you'll earn certifications in cutting-edge technologies like AWS, making your resume stand out. Plus, our apprenticeship program gives you the hands-on experience employers are looking for, ensuring you're not just ready to enter the tech field, but excel in it. And here's the best part. Our dedicated job search coaching is designed to help you land a lucrative job fast. I want you to say goodbye to dead-end positions and hello to fulfilling, well-paid career in technology. Are you ready to make that leap? I want you to visit anthonyoneal.com/yellowtail to learn more about how Yellowtail Tech can help you achieve your career dreams. Don't wait to start building a future you're excited about. Your tech career begins right now. Visit anthonyoneal.com/yellowtail. We learning today, y'all. We learning today. Hey, you got some of this list that I haven't thought about until I got one of those smart toilets. Mm-hmm. And they have those soft close toilets.
Change your life.
It changed my whole life. And I even think, correct me if I'm wrong, getting the soft close toilet seats are great, especially for kids.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I remember I used to be done. I used to bow, just throwing down my mom and dad. Like, what's wrong with you? Next thing you know, the back seats of the toilet things are cracked. Yeah. And you sit down the toilet and you squeeze over.
Fall for your life.
I got a butt whooping. Because I slammed the toilet, and my dad had heard it the day before, and he went there to use the bathroom, sat down, the thing slid, he almost fell off. Well, my dad went upside my head so quick. You know what I mean? Slamming this toilet. Now I got to go buy a new toilet because you want to slam it. Yep. But it's like, I think that is just brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Soft closed toilets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is just smart. But then not just that, but even getting, I'm noticing now, even these smart toilets, when they first came out, they were super expensive. Mm-hmm. Now I just had to replace my master bathroom. I redid the whole master bathroom. So I got a smart toilet with that one. But I had to replace my bathroom downstairs. I said, well, how much is a smart toilet?
$350. Yeah.
It's not the most, it's not the smartest one.
Smarter than a dumb one, though.
But watch this one, though. The one upstairs, it opens and closes on its own. Mm-hmm. This one downstairs doesn't, but it's a soft close.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I like this.
Yep.
Why would you say as realtors that is something impressionable for homeowners when they walk in?
Well, this concept of luxury is kind of subjective, right? When we think about luxury. Ooh. If I'm looking at the difference between a Honda and a Benz, one of the main differences when I close my door?
Yes, sir.
Hard slam.
Yes, sir.
So if we look at every door that can open and close in my property, what are the things I'm doing to ease that transition, make it smoother, make it quieter, that can make a standard off-the-shelf product feel more luxurious?
Yes, sir.
So if I wanted to go for a high-end Toto commercial-grade toilet that's going to run me $400 or $500, got the soft close included, or that American standard that comes in all of them anyway, extra $25-$30 on Amazon to get my soft close toilet, from a user experience standpoint, it will feel luxurious just simply because of that soft close. Because people associate things closing softer in every way with luxury, higher end, something I'm willing to pay a little bit more for.
I've even had clients with kids that say, I soft close everything so the kids don't get their hands stuck in certain things. Like that right there, from a psychological standpoint, it makes them feel better.
Yes,
so they're more willing to get the property with the soft close everything versus not having soft close.
Because it can't slam.
It can't slam.
Exactly.
And I hear too that there's a way that you could take the original drawers, take those out, and put soft close to turn your original drawers, cabinet drawers, into soft close cabinet drawers.
1,000% You got two different options for it. We can do either just like 3M actually makes an interesting product that is just an extra pad that's got, instead of just, you know, the little rubber foot, it's like a two-level rubber foot that can be compressed. So if I slam it as hard as possible, the first part hits and then the rest goes in. So it's like a soft close pad where I can buy those. I can put those on anything, or you can buy the actual mechanical apparatus that's like kind of like a door stopper that's always open and closes in. And but that can be put on pretty much any cabinet that you can screw into.
Yo, we're going to keep on going. We got some things for y'all today. I'm loving this because I think these are the kind of conversations we got to have to help homeowners really invest. And I wish I would have had this when I bought my first one. But I invested into this next one. Remote control fans for older homes.
Yeah.
So no longer just going to this. No longer going to the fan and pulling the thing to come down.
Correct.
Right. Invest into a remote control. And even now what I'm even noticing is you can buy a fan that is connected smart to your phone.
Correct.
For the same price as a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now you can say, hey Siri or hey Amazon, turn on fan, turn off fan.
Yep.
And that goes back to what you're saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the concept of being luxury.
Yeah, user friendly. Like you think we wanna lay down, get up out the bed and then go, that's old.
That's old.
You know, I want, even going to the light switch to even do all, no man, just laying it, do. Peace of mind, comfortable, user-friendly.
Now, Harris, you have on the notes, explain the power scale of fans.
Yes, in older homes, because a lot of people will buy a renovated product. Like in D.C., we got a lot of row homes built between 1930, 1950.
Right.
Just got renovated last year. So everything is new and shiny, except the ductwork most of the time. And the power in buying an older home that has an AC system that's been retrofitted is acknowledging that this home wasn't made to be air conditioned,
right?
Especially upstairs. So if you do, and that's a certain measurement, it's like cubic inches of air per minute or whatever, there's a scale. Mm-hmm. If you buy the higher powered fans for your upstairs rooms, particularly bedrooms, they will help a home that does not cool well upstairs because it wasn't designed to be cool much better. Like in one of my old row homes where my tenants stay now, it was hot as hell upstairs, like a 10 degree difference between up and downstairs. I overcame that with a much more powerful fan, a little bit higher than what I could see in the store, but the cost was only maybe $100 or so more. That completely changed their comfort and temperature experience in the room.
And that was this at Home Depot? Lowe's?
Looked for one at Home Depot, ended up getting one from Lowe's. We can, you know, post the links to some of them. But you just got to know that when there are the ducts in the floor and an older system in your basement and you upstairs, you know, what rises? Heat. right? Yep. It's much harder to push cold air up unless you got the powerful fan that can circulate. If the cold air is in the room, that's going to help be more comfortable, especially if you got high ceilings in the room. Yeah. It's just you're fighting against nature.
Yep. You have on this if dual shower head attachments.
Yeah, yeah. For whatever reason, I've been getting targeted this on Instagram a lot. And it is a brilliant idea. It's not a brand new concept, but there's a cooler one that essentially allows with one shower head and just a regular kind of rectangular normal size shower.
Right.
It's a pipe that connects, goes over the top, connects to this side, and then comes down with two shower heads.
Yes, sir.
So it can turn a standard single shower head into two. Wow. And if I'm marketing or renting your home, I can say dual shower head, luxury spa-like experience in your regular ass bathroom.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
How much would that cost?
The apparatus itself, a couple hundred. You probably want to get someone to secure. What I will say is if you're trying to put anything into tile or anything other than drywall or where you know the stud is, get a professional to make sure it's secured, especially if it's up above your head for safety. So labor-wise, you may be looking at a couple hundred more for labor. But some, if you can go right into the wall yourself, just find the stud, put it in, $50, $60.
You know, I think one of the things that I kind of wasted money on, which I wish I would not have done in my shower, was the shower jets. You know what I mean? Because it's like
car wash.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I haven't used them. I only use the shower head and the one that's on the hand.
Yeah.
And what I've been seeing on the luxury homes, they're getting away from the jets and they're doing multiple shower heads, like two shower heads, and then like even two handhelds.
Attachments.
So you can get to it. And maybe a rain head in some of them. Yes, but the jets, I'm not really seeing those anymore.
Keith, what is the, at every home inspection, if there's either a jetted tub or jetted shower, what does the inspector say?
The maintenance on that is going to be expensive.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they leak.
Yep.
They actually leak a lot.
They do.
It's hard to maintain. Very hard to maintain.
Yes. I want to bring my contractor back in and fix it all. Yeah. And I probably will before I rent it because it's just a waste of money, in my opinion. It looks dope.
Yeah, it looks good. Yep.
It looks really dope, but it was a waste of money, and I wish I would have did the dual shower.
Simpler. The less points of access, entry, or that water has to flow through, the less places something can leak, like long term. So the more places I got stuff coming out, same with the jetted tubs. Like for one, on resale, that's pretty nasty, man. You got all types of materials and bacteriums and things sitting in the bottom of a jetted tub. And I've never once, other than properties that were like 2-3 years old, had a home inspection where they were like, oh, this is in great shape. It's like something always needs to happen to a jetted tub specifically. So if you like it, know that it's a comfort and do what makes you comfortable in your house to enjoy your place.
Yeah.
But on resale, you're going to have to put some coin into either replacing, repairing something with it because
they even come out of the shop. Like I've seen newly renovated houses that has jetted tubs and something is already wrong with it. It's not working properly.
It's like a boat. It's like the same reason why boats are expensive. Anything that has water and motor and motion through it is going to have problems with time.
Period.
So just know that.
Wow. So I may have to replace that jetted tub.
Or the gaskets or like the seals, it's like something with anything that water is in or sits in will deteriorate, will rust. Like something's gonna happen with time.
And we don't want people wasting more money, spending more money to sell. It's not a good investment.
Yeah. Command strip hanging hooks. What's that?
So, again, man.
That was a product I sold. I gave you that.
You did. Boxes on the joints.
Boxes.
Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, where Keith used to work.
What's
the command strip? Why is the command strip?
So, a command strip is made originally by 3M, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. So, instead of having to drill holes into your wall to hang stuff up, they have this strip of adhesive that you can put up and hang up whatever you need, pictures, and they have different weight limits. And I've used this, it goes up to, if you have to hang something on your wall, that's 60 pounds, 70 pounds. The adhesive, 3M is the number one adhesive company in the world.
Right.
So they make these products specifically so things can hang on the wall, coat hanging racks and things of that nature. They have it all, a plethora of products where you don't have to drill holes in your wall anymore.
Wow.
And it's user friendly, so when you take the strips off your wall, it doesn't take off the paint.
So it's like really good adhesive, a Velcro, another Velcro, yep. And you put adhesive and once you hang it, you press them in, and if it's a heavier thing, you can put 4 or 5 strips across the top. That can alleviate the need for anchors or like putting big holes into the wall for hanging stuff. And by the front door, a lot of times I want to come in, and if someone wasn't thoughtful with their design, doesn't have an entry coat closet or a place to put things right by the door, they make some pretty cool hooks that have the command strip backing, so I can just put adhesive. And guess what? If I put it in a place and I don't like it or I want to swap it up, take the Velcro off, slowly pull it off, no damage on the wall.
Man, we are learning a lot about some things here, which I want to go through about maybe 3 or 4 more things. Cool. And maybe talk about some things that we should not just do.
For sure.
The next thing is, man, I thought this was pretty cool because I did this, was moving a power outlet up to high TV power cords.
Absolutely.
I think you got to do that nowadays.
Simple.
You should not be seeing any power cords anywhere.
Yeah.
The next one was, which I did this, I probably went a little bit too far, but having a mesh network for your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I actually had my IT guy come out there and build me a Ubiquiti home Wi-Fi network system. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, because I have a lot of Wi-Fi things in my home.
Smart home, everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Everything's smart. Smart lights, smart switches, everything. Smart toilets. So all this stuff needs Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? He was like, hey, I was running the Amazon Eros.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. But the Eros weren't getting as far as what I needed because I have, you know, 3 levels, basement, high. And so I needed something to really hit everything. And so he was like, we could do it with the Eros. Mm-hmm. I just got to build it into the Wi-Fi, run some other cables, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He was like, since we have to do that, how about we just go ahead and put in Ubiquiti?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool. No problem. So the Ubiquiti will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So now I get, there's not one place in my home that is lacking Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Not one. I mean, all the way out to the backyard of my pool, mm-hmm. you got Wi-Fi.
Yep.
All the way to the front yard of my home, mm-hmm. you have Wi-Fi. My garage has Wi-Fi. Like, mm-hmm. every piece of my home has Wi-Fi. How important is that from homeowners? Because that did suck for me when I came into the home.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Like, where my cable box is, which was so stupid to me. I'm like, why would someone build a home like this? But my cable box and Wi-Fi router was on the basement.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, I spend most of my time on the up floor and upstairs. So by the time I got to the mid floor, I'm getting maybe 30 megs for a download.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Trash.
Yeah. No Wi-Fi.
Zero.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So do y'all recommend someone investing into a good mesh network?
Well, if someone is working from home, right, has a need for higher bandwidth because of the work they do, broadcasting, high upload, download, secure networks,
yes, sir.
Then going for the hardwired solution like you got can make more sense.
Yes, sir.
For most of us who are streaming on our televisions, on our laptops, on all of our other smart devices, the plug into the wall mesh network is simple and can work because it doesn't matter how many megs I got coming into the house or even how beastly my base router is.
Right.
Distance and time, it's just science, right? Like the farther away you are from something, it's not gonna work as well without that active relay. So I highly recommend it because everything in our home most likely is gonna have some type of Wi-Fi connection, even if it's just our phone, it's right next to us all the time. And the more you can have that signal be strong upstairs, because what do clients do? They're looking like, oh, what type of signal I got up here?
Exactly.
And if you got a house with bad signal, you definitely gotta show them that you got some good Wi-Fi, because that's been a deal breaker for some
a lot of people.
If they got a bad signal, like just on their phone, or like they can't get connection in
especially
the house.
From the household, the couples that work from home, like both couples are working from home. Wi-Fi is super important.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, absolutely. And one thing I do like about Eros is that they do allow you the option to where if you do have an Ethernet on the second floor and on the third floor, you can plug into that Ethernet.
Hardwire. Yeah, yeah. That's
and then it will push it just like it's a regular router. And I do love that. So that's a good one. Now, I'll tell you something y'all didn't have me listed. I did. Tell me if it was a bad mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think it was, so I don't care what y'all say.
Done now.
I tinted all my windows.
Okay.
And I've seen a difference in my AC bill.
Dude, yeah. Mm. The reflective tint?
Reflective.
Yeah. Or just like
it's
the
3M product. Like,
it's a 3M. Yeah, it's a 3M product.
Yeah.
I know it is a 3M product. So it's like I did all that to all of my front. Actually, we just went ahead and did all of my windows.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, man, that front part of my house that's all glass when you first walk in.
Yeah.
My that spot used to be hot no matter what AC I had it on because that sun just hits that.
Yeah.
And then I started noticing my wood floors were starting to crack a little bit.
Yes.
And I was like, what in the world? So I started doing some research. And so before I got my wood floors done again, I had them just tint that.
Yeah.
All those windows. Mm-hmm. I remember one day it was like 98 degrees last summer when I came in and I walked in. I was like, oh, that's probably about to be hot. And I walked in. It wasn't that hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, this thing is actually working.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the winter came, that place is always super cold because of the AC. And I came in and it was like, no, it's keeping up with the regular temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a little expensive to tint your window. Things are almost like 50, 60 bucks per window.
Yeah.
So me doing that many windows, it could be expensive. But for me, I think that was a good selling point because it's going to really help maintain the heat, maintain the AC, and then it keeps air from going in and going out.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, do y'all see a lot of that in houses as y'all sell?
Not as much tinting, because if I think to my wife, I always complain. Like even the tints in my car, she's like, I can't
see. Too dark.
I'll tell you the funny
part. I like it though.
When people got the reflective ones, they don't realize that at night, the reflective people can see you inside. Like, reflective works great during the day, but don't walk around in your drawers with the blinds open.
Right.
You outside when it's bright inside.
Can't say they haven't seen that. But real quick, before we end this show, man, what are some things y'all just tell people, just don't do that? That doesn't make any sense for homes that a lot of people are doing. Some people would say me spending money on a pool was a bad investment.
Mm-hmm.
What would y'all say?
I don't think it's a bad investment. I think if you upkeep it and keep it maintained for when you go to rent or sell, remember, rent or sell, if it's ready to go and right maintenance-wise, it could be a good selling point for people who want pools. I don't know if it's because it's getting hot outside, but I have people that said, Keith, I want a house with a pool in this area. You got people that are migrating from the South, Florida, places like that who want pools. So I think if you maintain it well, it could be a great selling point. For me as a landlord, I get a little cautious about pools because I don't want that liability. Mm. But to sell, I'm all for a pool.
When you say liability, what do you mean by that?
I'm renting the property out. They might have kids. You have a pool in the backyard. You own that house. Your name is on the deed. Something happens, God forbid, something happened with, you know, somebody fall over into the water. That's just liability that you don't know that can come back on you. As a landlord, I would close that pool off. I wouldn't have them use that pool. For me personally. And that's a personal thing. I just wouldn't do it.
So anyone harms himself in your house as a landlord, there can be a path to personal injury liability lawsuit to you.
Yep.
Period.
Really?
It's their fault, doesn't matter, whatever. If they are in your home, hurt themselves, you can be named in a suit.
Yep.
I could be named in the suit because you allowed your son to go in the pool.
Yep.
Because you slipped and hit your head walking outside, whatever. Like, and a pool is just there's more opportunity for harm or death in a pool.
Yep.
Wow.
So for renting,
you would close the pool down.
I would close it down. I Keith James would close it down.
And the only caveat I'll say is that your home sits in a category of what we would call luxury homes for your neighborhood and for the region.
Yeah.
So in luxury homes, there is the expectation that pool, significant grounds, it's there. So I think it's both helpful and needed for yours, but regionally, we just don't have as many pools in total. Like in a lot of other places in the country, middle of the market or even lower price point homes will also have pools. Here it is seen as a defining and separate luxury feature. Same way if you're ever gonna rent your home, it would be in that kind of more luxury price point. So you got a little bit less risk there, but it's still, you really have to build some paper around yourself and them with the liability of that pool, extra insurance, extra like waivers, a hold harmless. Like I would add extra stuff in my lease if I left the pool there that says if y'all do anything, anybody harms themselves, you've been warned. That's on you. You can't sue me up front.
I would definitely be doing that.
100%. Just let us know. And you can add whatever paragraphs into lease and renting agreements.
You have to, though. That makes sense, though.
You got
to
be thoughtful.
I didn't know that they can hold you liable for slipping and falling when it's you.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people, you know, in a lot of the shows, they talk about like, oh, every rental I have, it's in an entity, it's in an LLC, it's not in
that's
my
true.
Name. Which, again, is the step if you got the financial structure to support it
right.
all day. But most people, especially owner occupied, moved out, moved to my next home, it's still in my name for now.
Yep.
So between your umbrella policy, between all of your different lease terms, just make sure you're working with somebody that's got the right jurisdictional and legal protections for you.
That's so good. What's another one? Hey, you just shouldn't do.
I don't, like, I'm an audiophile, so I really appreciate good sound systems.
Yeah.
I do not like any speakers built into walls.
Outside of the theater, though, right?
Outside of a home theater. Yeah,
right.
If it's in a home theater. But even then, visually, because it's dark, if I got some good speakers that aren't obstructing the view of the screen, because then, like, every 3 to 5 years, sound technology, speaker technology increases significantly.
Yeah.
So if I'm putting in something, it's almost like the idea of having a depreciating asset that I'm going to need to upgrade.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to upgrade without having to also do construction. Big fan of Sonos, big fan of wireless systems now that I can swap out that are modular. And as soon as the new comes out and I really want to give you that crazy Sonos HD, 3D, whatever,
yeah.
I just put my two new ones on a stand and, you know,
straight.
Looks good.
Y'all, this has been a quick show for you. We just want to give you some good things you can do with your home to add value, to add equity, to add a little bit of appeal to your home. So y'all can catch their show. We're going to link their show in today's show notes. They're going to be dropping a lot of stuff weekly, but they'll be back with us next month, just giving us more information around real estate, all things we can do to get into the homes. And if you are looking to purchase anywhere in the United States, we're going to drop the link in today's show notes as well to where you all can get with Coalition Group and they can help you get you into a home or rental home, sell your home, you name it, anywhere in the United States of America. It's your boy Anthony O'Neill. We'll see you in the next show. Peace out.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.